Good morning from Seabase, the space station beyond or under Berlin. Welcomes you to day two of the RC3 streaming. We are starting in a few seconds with catching the NSO group's Pegasus spyware. This is something that has caught attention among the security and hacker communities over the world. In the last, I would guess, 2 years or so, there had been some spectacular cases of murder, kidnappings, journalists being threatened, other things. The infamous software doing this is called Pegasus. It's marketed by a company known by the three-letter acronym NSO, whatever this stands for. And actually, Amnesty International and its IT department, so to say, has invested quite some effort into detecting whether a device has been infected by Pegasus or not. NSO marketed this, among other things, as so-called undetectable. Well, undetectable as in software on a device, as we see. And our speaker today, Donika O'Carroll from Ireland and from Amnesty International, will be presenting how they developed detection tools for this nasty piece of spyware that has become so popular among secret actors, state actors, and others around the world. Okay, enough for the introduction. Donika, the scene and the stream is yours. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for that introduction. So as the intro said, today I'd like to talk to you about NSO Group's Pegasus spyware. And in particular, I'd like to explain a little bit about how we at Amnesty has been investigated Pegasus over the past few years. And then I'll also explain and demonstrate some of the tools we have developed and published to let others also investigate and detect Pegasus spyware potentially on their devices or on the devices of other people in civil society. So my name is Donika O'Carroll, and I'm a technologist based at the Amnesty International Security Lab in Berlin. We've got a small team who focuses on investigating targeted digital threats, such as spyware, phishing, and other kinds of surveillance that's directed against civil society and human rights defenders around the world. So as the intro said, Pegasus has got a lot of attention in the past few months. So you may have seen this Pegasus Project revelations that were published in July during the summer. So the Pegasus Project was a global investigation into abuses linked to NSO Group's Pegasus spyware. This investigation was based on a leaked data set of 50,000 potential Pegasus targets, which Amnesty International and Forbidden Stories had access to. And so this global media investigation was coordinated by Forbidden Stories, with the participation of about 80 journalists from 17 different media organizations around the world. During the Pegasus Project, Amnesty International took on the role of a technical partner, and the focus for Amnesty International was to perform detailed, innovative forensic analysis on the devices of potential targets. And through this kind of forensic analysis and this technical work, we're able to identify traces of Pegasus, either targeting or targeting or infection, on many devices. So over the multi-month project, Amnesty Security Lab analyzed about 67 devices. And from these 67 devices of potential targets, at least 37 showed clear traces of Pegasus targeting or infection. So this is really quite a high number of infected devices. And these devices included journalists, activists, opposition political figures, all kinds of people who were being unlawfully surveilled using Pegasus. Overall, of the phones we have checked, which were iPhones and which hadn't been replaced, you know, which still contained data of the targeting, more than 80% of the phones that were on of this list of potential targets showed traces of Pegasus. So, in July, these stories came out. They highlighted cases of civil society being targeted, such as journalists in Hungary, activists in Morocco, activists, Saudi Arabian dissidents, also family members of Jamal Khashoggi, which the investigation showed had been targeted with Pegasus spyware both before and after his brutal murder. So yeah, you can go and read many of these stories online. Today, I'd like to focus on again how we got there, how we developed these tools, how we developed this methodology for finding Pegasus, and also explain about how you can also go and do this kind of searching for Pegasus and for other mobile spyware. So let's take a step back for a second and ask, so what exactly is Pegasus? This name is well known, but what exactly is the software and how does it work? So a first thing to remember is that actually, while Pegasus has got more well known in the last 2 years, it's not actually a new tool or a new product. So we know Pegasus has been around and been developed by NSO Group since at least 2010. On the left-hand side here of the diagram, you can see a Pegasus brochure from 2010 where it describes how Pegasus can be installed on BlackBerry devices. And we believe the original version of Pegasus was focused on BlackBerry because back in 2010, smartphones were less prevalent than they are now. And so BlackBerry is kind of a key target for some of the security agencies who may want to buy this kind of spyware. So it developed over time. Here on the right-hand side, we can see some diagrams that were from a leaked Pegasus brochure that was published in 2014. In the first diagram here, it talks about how Pegasus is installed on a phone. In this example, it's showing how a Pegasus kind of infection link can be sent over SMS to the target device. And then if opened, how the data that can be collected and passed back to the operator of the Pegasus software. So that's just one example from their own diagrams. Here in the circle below, you'll see a little bit of what Pegasus claims to be able to monitor. And if you look at it, you can see it's basically everything on the device. So it's talking about collecting email addresses, collecting SMS messages, tracking location data, even reading the calendar, turning on the microphone of the phone. And so bear in mind, while this diagram is quite old, it's like 6 or 7 years old, you get an idea of what kind of data the Pegasus software will try to collect from the phone. It's basically, it can access every kind of data on the phone that might be of interest to somebody who's carrying out this surveillance. One important thing to remember is that the Pegasus spyware is able to get very kind of deep access to the phone. So it's fundamentally able to access everything on the phone that the user is able to access and more. So even if you're using a messaging app such as Signal or Telegram, which may be encrypted, the Pegasus software is able to access that data and those messages before they're encrypted on the device. So even once there's spyware running on the phone itself, none of these encrypted messaging apps will help because it has such low level access to the device. So that's a little bit about what exactly Pegasus tries to collect and what people can do with using the Pegasus software. So where exactly did the investigations into Pegasus start? So if we go back as far as 2016, was when Pegasus was first kind of identified in the wild being used to target an activist. So in this case, in 2016, Pegasus was first found by Citizen Lab. And Citizen Lab is a group of researchers based in the University of Toronto in Canada who also works on investigating spyware targeting civil society. So in this case, a UAE-based human rights defender named Abman Mansour began to receive suspicious messages over SMS. So you can see some screenshots of the messages on the right. So Abman Mansour was just cautious about these because in the past, he had previously been targeted with other kinds of spyware tools, including FinFisher. So when he began to receive these messages, he was cautious about them and he shared them with Citizen Lab, who then began to investigate them. So what Citizen Lab realized is that these looked to be an attack message. And they opened these attack links on their own testing phone. When they did this, they were able to capture the exploit that was being delivered over these links and also able to capture a copy of the Pegasus payload. So what happens when these links are opened is that the link is opened in a web browser such as Safari. When the link is opened, the Pegasus server would return some JavaScript, some code that would exploit an unknown flaw in the Safari web browser. And by kind of manipulating the Safari web browser and exploiting this unknown flaw, they could then get their own code to start running inside the Safari web browser. And eventually, with the help of some additional flaws, they could then get more privileged access on the iPhone and eventually install the full Pegasus payload. So yeah, Citizen Lab first found it in 2016. It was a very important discovery, and it showed just how serious some of the threats facing civil society were, that there were people willing to use these kinds of very expensive exploits to start targeting human rights offenders who were just doing their human rights work. Fortunately, after this, Amin Mansour continued to get harassed, and he was sentenced to prison, and he's currently still in prison since 2017, so for about 4 years now. So where did we at Amnesty start investigating this? So our team has been investigating these kinds of threats for a while, but really we started focusing on NSO and investigating NSO in 2018, after an Amnesty colleague of ours started to receive some suspicious messages. So this colleague in May 2018 received this message. You can see here on the left. The message is written in Arabic, but it basically claims that there is going to be a protest happening shortly outside the Saudi Arabian embassy. And they asked the Amnesty staff member to support the protest and then to click on this link for more information. So fortunately, our Amnesty colleague, when they received this message, they got quite suspicious. They were like, this is weird. I don't know this person. And so they shared a screenshot of this message with us at the Amnesty Security Lab, and we began to investigate it. So quite quickly, when we started looking at this domain name and the server, we agreed to look kind of suspicious. We also managed to identify some additional domains and servers that were related to this original Akbar Arabia domain. And quite quickly, it started to appear to us that this was indeed something suspicious, and maybe it was some kind of attack message. So at the time, we didn't know it was necessarily NSO group. By looking at the original initial servers here, we managed to create kind of a fingerprint, so some way of identifying the particular configuration of the domain name and the server sent inside of this message. With the aid of this fingerprint, we then began to do what's called an internet scan. So we connected to every single server in the internet, send a particular request, and then find any other server in the internet that matched this particular fingerprint, this particular configuration from this server. So by doing this internet scanning, what we found was 600 different domains all across the internet that matched this fingerprint and that appeared to be related to the same kinds of attacks. So what was really key is that we found that these domains were actually related to Pegasus, because NSO Group had made one kind of key mistake or key flaw when they were setting up this infrastructure. So what happened is, as described earlier, Citizen Lab had previously identified servers being used by NSO Group in 2016. After their explosion in 2016, NSO shut down all of these domains and infrastructure, and then began to set up new kind of infrastructure that would be not related to NSO or not linkable to NSO. Unfortunately, they made a mistake because they had reused one domain name from the previous set of infrastructure and also being used this new set of infrastructure. So by finding this one domain out of 600 that had previously been used by NSO, we're able to show that these 600 domains were also related to Pegasus. And so we're able to show that this message that was sent to our Amnesty International colleague was indeed related to Pegasus and was an attempt to compromise their device. So we published our findings in August 2018. At the time, we also identified that another Saudi Arabian activist had similarly been targeted with a Pegasus exploit message over WhatsApp. Following this, Amnesty International also supported a legal action in Israel, which asked the Israeli Ministry of Defense to revoke NSO's export licenses to prevent this Pegasus software being sold to countries that would abuse it to target Amnesty and also target other human rights activists. Unfortunately, later the Israeli court rejected the legal complaint and said that the Israeli Ministry of Defense had adequate safeguards in place to prevent NSO's exports being sold to countries who would abuse it. Here on the bottom on the left, you can see that you can see a chart which shows the number of Pegasus servers online at the time. And we can see here that when we published this report, NSO acted quite quickly to shut down all 500 or 600 servers that were being used to deliver Pegasus. So this just shows that, you know, NSO is kind of reading this research, is paying attention to what it is, trying to avoid getting their infrastructure and servers discovered by researchers who are investigating these kinds of abuses. So this was back in 2018. So after discovering this attack against the Amnesty staff member, we'd Amnesty continue trying to investigate Pegasus, continue trying to find more cases of abuse. We next found Pegasus targeting happening in Morocco in 2019. So you can see here on the right, this time we found that a Moroccan human rights defender named Mati Manjib was being targeted repeatedly with Pegasus. When we checked his phone, we found that he had some suspicious messages. They're saying that the messages claimed that there is some scandal or there's some news story, and they're asking the target to click on these links to find out more information. So when we looked at these links, we knew immediately that they were Pegasus links because we had previously identified these domains as one of the 600 domains that were being used in 2018. So for example, you can see in the second message here on the right, we see the domain videosdownload.co. We knew this was Pegasus because we had previously identified and published this domain in 2018. So this time we knew Mati was being tagged with Pegasus, but we realized we needed to do some more investigation to see if his phone was indeed compromised or if we could collect more information from his device. So when we did this, we actually found something quite interesting on Mati's phone, because we found what we believed was evidence of a new type of targeting on his phone. Instead of relying on the target kind of being tricked into clicking on a link, which is maybe not reliable, or maybe the target can see something suspicious, we instead saw them using what's called a network injection attack. So how a network injection attack works is like this. So a network injection involves having some kind of equipment or software running on the with access to the internet connection of the mobile device. So this can either be at the mobile phone network or potentially having some software or hardware running on the same Wi-Fi network as the target. And what it does is, when the target is browsing the web on their phone, eventually the target browses and clicks on a link that goes to a regular HTTP website, so without a HTTPS. And so when this regular HTTP request is made, the software that's running on the upstream network can see this HTTP request. And when the HTTP request happens, it can instead of returning the correct response or the correct content, instead returns a HTTP redirect. And the HTTP redirect will then send the browser of the phone to a malicious exploit site, which can then hack the phone. So in the case of Mati, we found that he had tried to go and check his email. He typed in yahoo.fr on his browser. When he typed in yahoo.fr, the software running on the upstream network saw this clear text connection and then redirected his phone to this exploit link we see above. So you see the domain is quite suspicious. Get it now, the free247downloads.com. And again, it has some random characters at the end, which looks like a kind of exploit link. So at the time, we suspected this was Pegasus, and it was a new way of delivering Pegasus without tricking the user into clicking on a link. But we weren't certain that it was Pegasus. Potentially, it was some other kind of spyware. Fortunately for us, NSO helped to confirm that this really was Pegasus, because before we published this report, Amnesty wrote to NSO Group sharing our findings. And interestingly, one day after we shared the findings with NSO, this spyware server got shut down and went offline. And this was already a week before the report was made publicly available. So that kind of confirmed to us that NSO really was controlling this infrastructure, and we're able to get it shut down even when we'd only previously shared this information with NSO. A bit later, we found some more information about how this attack may have been done. NSO at a trade fair was demonstrating some new type of hardware they had developed, which you can see here on the photo on the right. And we believe this photo is of some kind of MZ catcher or fake base station, which can run a fake mobile phone network. And then a target's phone, such as Matthew, could connect to this fake mobile phone base station. And from that position, it could be possible for NSO to redirect the phone to a malicious exploit link. So we're not sure what happened in this case, if it was the advice that this was used, but we believe that NSO is demonstrating or testing these kinds of what are called tactical infection methods. So this is where our findings were in Morocco. We started to realize that actually relying on checking for SMS messages, checking for links, or relying on people coming to us with something suspicious wasn't going to work anymore, because we began to see what were called the zero-click attacks. And so all a zero-click attack is any way of infecting a device that doesn't rely on some interaction from the user, doesn't rely on the user clicking on a link. So we can see here some examples of other zero-click attacks that have been discovered over the past couple of years. I guess one of the first ones here was in 2019, where NSO Group developed an exploit for WhatsApp, and it was then used by their customers to target at least 1,400 different people around the world. And all of this, how this worked was that the target would simply need to receive a call over WhatsApp, even a missed call, and the exploit would be able to kind of compromise their phone without the user clicking anything. As I described earlier, we saw these kinds of network rejection attacks happen. And then later in 2020, Citizen Lab also found an iMessage zero-day being used to again compromise iPhone users without any interaction in 2020. So from our own investigations, we have found that NSO has been using various zero-click exploits since at least summer 2017 until July of this year. So we know it's not something that's quite new for NSO, but at least something we've started only recently discovering in the past few years. And we've seen NSO putting a lot of focus into developing these kinds of complicated but very powerful zero-click exploits. So now that we know that NSO and their customers are using these kind of zero-click attacks, we realized we needed to do something kind of more advanced to try and find these cases of surveillance. The big problem with mobile devices is a lack of visibility. Whereas on desktop or laptop computers, we have antivirus available or we have EDR systems available. There's really nothing similar that was available for mobile devices. So these kinds of attacks, especially zero-click attacks, are often going undetected. When we began to investigate this, we realized that while it's difficult to perform forensics on mobile devices, it's actually not impossible. We were somewhat surprised to realize that iPhones actually allow a significant amount of relevant data to be extracted from the phones themselves in the form of an iPhone backup. And so it's actually quite possible to start doing a forensic analysis on iPhones. Unfortunately, with Android devices, we found were much more limited. And because of restrictions on the Android operating system, it isn't possible to extract much data in an Android backup. And so all we've really been able to do on Android is to simply check the SMS messages and maybe the browser history for some traces of targeting. But again, it's just much less data is available on Androids compared to iPhones. The other big problem we realize is that there's a lack of any kinds of public tools for consensual mobile forensics. All of the forensic tools that are out there are designed for people to extract data from phones that they don't own, whether phones that have been seized or phones that have been somehow otherwise obtained. There's no tools available to really check your own phone for signs of spyware. So this is where the mobile verification toolkit comes into play. So MVT is a public tool developed by Amnesty International that's designed to simplify the process of analyzing mobile devices for traces of spyware. Here it's available on GitHub. You can go check it out. And just to highlight all of the cases of Pegasus targeting that I've described previously, and all of the cases and traces that I'll present for the rest of the presentation, all of these have been found using MVT. So MVT really works to detect advanced spyware, including spyware using zero-click, zero-day exploits, and really sophisticated stuff such as Pegasus. So while all of these different spyware vendors try to say how to think it's undetectable, it is definitely advanced. They definitely spend a lot of money in developing this stuff, but it's not magic. And if you're careful and diligent about checking for traces, there's always mistakes that are made. There's always ways of identifying potential suspicious behavior on these devices. So MVT is written in Python. It's very easy to install. If you have pip, you can just go pip tree install MVT. And here's how it's used. Again, it's very straightforward. To check an iPhone, you simply make a backup of the iPhone and you run this one command. So it'll be MVT iOS, check backup, and then you provide the backup folder. In the command here, we also see what's called a sticks file. So a sticks file is simply a file containing indicators There's maybe like domain names or IP addresses or process names that are known to be linked to a spyware tool. And so MVT is a generic tool. It can be used with Pegasus indicators, but also can be used with indicators for other spyware tools and could be used to detect other spyware. So MVT is a modular framework. It has modules for parsing different kinds of databases, such as SMS messages or browser history or other kinds of files on the device. I'm going to go through and explain a few of the modules that are available in MVT and show how this can be used to find traces of Pegasus or other similar spyware tools. So one module that is quite useful is the SMS module, which is quite straightforward. It simply reads the SMS database in iPhone backup. It will extract all of the links from those SMS messages and check if any of those SMS messages contain links to known malicious domains. So in this case, we're checking a backup that has been targeted with Pegasus, and we see that there's multiple domains that are found that are related to Pegasus. We see this one, revolutionnews.com, the co, stop, sms.biz. From what we know about NSO, we've seen these kinds of exploit SMS messages used primarily between 2016 and 2018, but we've also seen Pegasus links as far back as 2014 and as recently as 2020. So this has been quite common, and if zero-click attacks are not available, I think we'll still see these kinds of exploit links being sent in SMS. So another data source that's quite useful and quite helpful for finding traces of targeting is the Safari browser history. So what we've seen is sometimes we identify traces of exploit being recorded in the Safari browser history, especially after a network injection attack. So in this case, while there's no link in SMS, when the network injection attack happens, the exploit server domain will be recorded in the browser history. And so by checking the browser history, we may be able to find evidence that this attack had happened. So on the right here, you can see a screenshot. And this screenshot was actually taken by a Moroccan journalist, Omar Radi, when he was being targeted with one of these network injection attacks in Morocco. So when he was browsing the web, he clicked the link, and then it silently redirected him to this web page. And when the screenshot was taken, it was actually running the JavaScript trying to exploit his phone. So unfortunately, following the publication of this research, Omar Radi was repeatedly harassed by the Moroccan authorities, and then he was eventually jailed after an unfair trial, and he's currently in jail. So another file that was quite useful in our investigations is something called the ID status cache file. So the ID status cache file is a file on iPhones, and it contains traces of any iCloud accounts which interacted with a device. This can be interacting with a device over a bunch of different Apple services, including iMessage, AirDrop, Apple Photos. And so what was really useful about this file is it showed us which malicious accounts, which like kind of Pegasus related accounts had been targeting a particular device. So what we know about Pegasus, we believe that these malicious accounts have been set up and have been used by one individual Pegasus customer. So you can see here in the first row, we see this email address, Lena Keller. And we saw this account being used to deliver iMessage 0 day to quite a number of different activists. So we've seen it being used to deliver exploits to two different Moroccan activists and a couple of French political figures. So by looking at which individuals have been targeted by the same account or by the same customer, we're able to kind of get a better idea of who that customer might be and have some idea about the attribution for that attack. The same in these other cases. For example, we see the Jessica Davies 1345 email. This was found on the phone of two different Hungarian journalists. Same for the Emmett Davies address. Again, for this final address here, Williams Enni. We found this on the phone of two different Hungarian individuals and a Hungarian activist. So this was really useful for us in our investigation because it really helped us get a better idea of who might be behind some of the attacks that we were seeing. So the previous logs I showed about SMS data and browser history, these show kind of traces of targeting. They showed somebody's been sent a malicious link, but they don't necessarily prove that a phone has been successfully compromised. So what I'll show now is some of the logs we can use to show that a device was indeed compromised. One of these files that was very useful for us in our investigations was the so-called data usage file. So the data usage file on iPhone is a file that records information about how much mobile data traffic each process on the phone has used. So this may be used to like help the iPhone keep track of, you know, which apps on your phone are using the most of your mobile data. But what was really helpful for this is that it actually recorded the names of some of the Pegasus processes and how much data each of these Pegasus processes were using. So from what we know about NSO Pegasus, we believe that when Pegasus is installed on a phone, it will kind of pick a random name that it uses to kind of hide itself when running on the system. To our investigation, we found about 50 different process names that the Pegasus process was using to try and hide itself. And once we'd identified these process names, then we could go and look for these known Pegasus process names on devices of potential targets. What's helpful in this database is it also shows a timestamp of when this process name was first kind of started on the device, when it was last seen on the device, and also it gives you some kind of information about how much data this process transferred. In some cases, this has been gigabytes of data, which shows that really the Pegasus spyware is extracting a lot of data from the device. And again, this is all automated MVT. So if you check a phone using MVT with the Pegasus indicators, it'll show quite clearly if any of these processes have been found on the device. Another feature that's been very helpful for us in our analysis is the timeline feature of MVT. So how the timeline feature works is it takes all of the different indicators and modules on the phone. So for example, it checks the SMS messages, it checks the file system, and every event, like every SMS message, every web browser lookup will all be recorded in a single file with the date that it happened. So by looking at this timeline, we can often see what different events happened around the same time as each other, and this can give us some of the some idea about how attacks were actually delivered on the device. So I want to just give you just one example of how this timeline can be used, just so you know how to use this timeline in your own investigations. So this is actually a demonstration of a phone of a Rwandan activist who was targeted in June 2021 using the forced entry iMessage zero day. So we can see here on the timeline that at 8 p.m., 8:45, we see the phone began to receive some push notifications over iMessage. So it seems it receives like 46 push notifications. And then what we saw was that SMS attachments began to be written to the phone. So in the final line here, we see that a file is written to the SMS attachments directory. And if you look at the end of the line, we see that the file being written to disk actually had a .gif attachment. So at the time, we thought this was something to do with the exploit, and somehow NSO was delivering their exploit in that GIF file. If we look a little bit later in the timeline, we see that about 10 minutes later on the same day, a Pegasus process starts running on the phone, this OTP GRAFD process. Shortly afterwards, some additional files are on disk and some more Pegasus processes start. So by looking at this timeline together, we can see quite clearly that the phone began to receive iMessage messages, these GIF attachments started to be written on disk, and then about 10 minutes later, the phone was compromised with the Pegasus. So remember here, like, there was no interaction from the user, they didn't click any link. As far as I'm aware, they didn't even notice anything happening on the device. It's simply silently these messages were being delivered, and after 10 or 20 minutes, Pegasus began to gain access to the device. So we'd shared some of these findings with Apple, and then later in September 2021, Apple Citizen Lab identified a copy of this exploit on another phone of another activist, and it shared it with Apple. And Apple patched this vulnerability in September 2021. So that's a little bit of how MVT works and how some of this methodology works to identify traces of Pegasus on a device. So since we published our forensic methodology and our tools, many other groups and organizations have been using these tools and methodology to check other devices for signs of Pegasus, and have found quite a number of new cases. Here at the top right, we can see an example of another NGO, Frontline Defenders, who identified six Palestinian human rights defenders who had their devices hacked using Pegasus. In these other cases, we see that the Belgian military intelligence services had used a similar methodology to check the phones of journalists in Belgium, and they found that a Belgian journalist, Peter van Linden, had his iPhone hacked, who they suspected by Rwanda. Again, we see another case where French intelligence services confirmed that a number of French journalists had their phones hacked using Pegasus, again, using a similar methodology. So what I'd like to highlight is like MVT can really be useful in identifying traces of Pegasus, but also MVT is designed as a kind of a generic mobile forensic tool. So when used with Pegasus indicators, it'll find Pegasus, but it also can be used to go and proactively search for new kinds of spyware. So I'd really recommend that if you're suspicious that phones may be targeted with this kind of spyware, you can use MVT to extract some data and then dig into it. If the person is a member of civil society or an activist, then Amnesty and other organizations will be happy to help support some of these investigations. Also, MVT is an open source tool. It's based on different modules. And so we're always open to ideas for new modules and new detection ideas to help make this tool better and better able to detect new kinds of threats. One thing to remember about MVT is it's designed to detect a certain kind of spyware. Unfortunately, the people who develop these spyware, they're smart people, and they read these reports and they watch these kinds of presentations. And so every time we publish some information about how to detect these kinds of spyware targeting civil society, the different spyware vendors and actors will try to improve their tools to avoid them being detected, will try to kind of upgrade their infrastructure to hide it again, to better obscure their activities. So just to give an example, here's some of the developments of NSO's own infrastructure over time. We see that after we published Amnesty published a report in 2018, much infrastructure was shut down. And then later, over the next 2 years, it began to run instead of more infrastructure, which was again shut down after discovery in 2021. So it's a constant arms race. And so while these tools are useful to detect Pegasus now, it's not always going to be just automatic. And it's important to do further research to try and identify new traces and new kinds of attacks. So what is the future for mobile spyware? So one thing I'd like to reiterate is that while we focus a lot on NSO Group and Pegasus in this research, in this talk, and also there's been a lot of focus on NSO Group, it's not the only mobile spyware out there. And there's definitely many other players who are trying to get into this space and trying to also develop similar kinds of spyware tools, which are then sold to different customers. We've seen that from this investigation, we've found at least 180 journalists who are potential targets of Pegasus, and many other human rights activists and opposition politicians who have been targeted with these tools over the last number of years. So far, these threat actors and these state agencies have been able to target activists and civil society with impunity due to a lack of visibility and telemetry on mobile platforms. They've simply just been getting away with it because they haven't been detected. So tools such as MVT can help expose some of these threats, but they need to be used more widely and need to be used with more civil society to really understand the full scope of these kinds of threats. I think it's also important that the tech industry and security industry works closely with civil society to help detect and expose these threats, because unfortunately, the people most at risk from these kinds of really serious attacks are also some of the people who are least equipped, both financially and technically, to defend against them. So to conclude, I think we're going to continue to see attackers focusing on mobile. Mobile is where all the data is. No other place gives you as much insight into somebody's life, into all their most innermost thoughts. Even just having a microphone in everybody's pocket, in someone's pocket, is such a powerful position to be in that we think companies and states will continue trying to develop these kinds of tools. We know that I think zero-click exploits are going to be highly desirable. And so while Apple and others have done a great job in making attacks against iMessage more difficult, it's almost certain that these kinds of cyber surveillance companies will continue trying to develop zero-click exploits. And if not for iMessage, then maybe for other chat platforms, I don't know, like Signal or Telegram or WhatsApp, they're going to try and attack other applications that activists are using. Unfortunately, it's not possible for activists and civil society to protect themselves from these kinds of zero-day attacks from a technical sense. So we definitely need more continued collaboration between civil society and key platform vendors to help identify and defend against these threats. And also we urgently need better regulation to prevent these kinds of really sophisticated spyware tools being sold to states and agencies which have a long history of abusing them to target civil society and political opposition. So thank you all for listening. I'm happy to answer some questions though. If you have some questions, or if you're concerned about, if you're a member of civil society or an activist and concerned about surveillance, please feel free to contact us at share@amnesty.tech. Thank you.
Thank you, Donica. Thank you from Seabase. We have already taken some overtime this early hacker morning. There have been popping up some small questions on our internal pad here from our tiny audience at Seabase. We don't have that much time left. Just can you give us an indication, what is the pace of this ongoing war? Do you feel that NSO Group is actively fighting MVT and your tool development, or didn't you get this honor yet?
Definitely, we've seen, even in the past year, we saw NSO starting to be more careful about cleaning up their forensic traces. And since 2020, they've begun to already clean some of the traces that we've been using. And it's clear they realize that people are investigating, that there is a risk of people discovering this stuff. And I feel like after the revelations this summer, they're going to have much more proactively trying to clean up some of these traces. But yeah, as I said, NSO is one company out there. There's also many other companies trying to compete in the same space. So even if NSO gets better, then other companies are still out there and can still be caught using MVT. And fundamentally, even if they clean up some traces for any kind of failed attacks, these traces are still going to be left around because it won't be possible for the spyware to clean up the traces.
Mm-hmm. So one could still, after an attack, eventually on an old device, years later, discover that there had been some spyware activity, which may be in the long run interesting information about dark campaigns and things. So NSO is not the only actor. There will be more. Do you feel that there are just copycats in the market, or do you think there will be completely new threats in the future?
So I guess there's always there's lots of smart people working in these companies who are trying to develop these tools. Just earlier this month, Citizen Lab published a report about another cyber surveillance vendor called Sidetrax, based in North Macedonia. And they were selling similar spyware, which is using kind of one-click attacks using links to help compromise iPhones and Android phones. So that's one company that's competing in this space. There's other companies doing similar kinds of targeting. What we believe, NSO was definitely the biggest company in this space, and they had a lot of money to invest, and especially invest in these kind of zero-click attacks. So for now, we don't know of another company that's as big or sophisticated as NSO, but I think many others will be trying to take their place if NSO becomes less popular.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. We have to go over to the C3 morning show in a few seconds. Thank you very much for this interesting talk this morning. Again, share@amnesty.tech is the address to go to. And this is probably one of the talks you want to watch again on media.ccc.de in a few days when this has been published. So greetings to Ireland. Thank you very much. Yeah. And we will meet and see again in real, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Everything is licensed under CC BY 4.0, and it is all for the community.
To download for everybody.